The Blast from Our Past Network.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Throwback Trivia Takedown. Here are your hosts, Adam and John Spies.
Welcome to Throwback Trivia Takedown, a no-holds-barred trivia match between two contenders fighting for nostalgic glory. I'm your host, John Spies.
I'm your co-host, Adam Spies.
Today, we are closing in on the end of our round of 16 in our 2024 patron tournament. In one corner, tonight, she'll be asking for your help taking out one of the deadliest trivia players in TTT history. Looking for the internet's most wanted, she's your host, Megan Walsh. Megan, welcome back to the show, and remind the folks at home a little about you.
Hi, thanks for having me back. I'm Meg. I'm from New Hampshire. I'm a high school science teacher, and yeah, that's pretty much it. We've got three cats, and they like to hang out.
In the other corner, live from the TTT newsroom, a trivia tsunami is on its way to destroy the competition. Board up those windows. This Justin wins. There you go. Justin, welcome back to the show. Remind the folks at home a little bit about you.
What is up, everybody? Justin Wentz. I'm from Fernandina Beach, Florida, way in the northeast corner of Florida. We run a small trivia company here. And even if I lose the game today, I win on cat count because we have eight. So.
Wow. You're a one-upper, aren't you?
Holy I tell you what. Megan's like, I meet you. First time I meet you, you got to show me up. It's probably the only thing I'm winning on today. So.
I will say this is going to be a darn good matchup because both of y'all are also in our 200 club. This is another 200 club member versus 200 club member matchup. Very exciting.
All right, folks, so let's learn how to play the game.
Entering the ring are two contestants who will engage in three rounds of head-to-head trivia. Here are the rules. Round one consists of 10 questions in different pop culture categories focused on a decade that will be randomized. If you answer incorrectly, your opponent has the chance to steal. And the categories are movies, music, television, toys and games, sports, fashion, slang, news and politics, literature, and food. Round two consists of the same 10 categories, but this time your opponent gets to pick your category. Each correct answer gives you 10 points. In the final round, you may bid up to as many points as you've earned before answering the final two questions. The categories for the final questions will be picked by the contestants, but the decade will again be randomized from those remaining. You must get both answers correct to earn your wager. Now it's time for a takedown.
All right, before we get started, I, of course, want to know Justin and Megan just a little bit better. And since I kind of alluded to America's Most Wanted, a show that I definitely watched on occasion when I was a little kid, I want to know, what is your favorite reality crime show?
I mean, you can't go wrong with Dateline. Dateline is a classic. Give me all that Keith Morrison action, you know.
And his little... All right, since you took the big one... let's see. I don't know. This is pretty much what I live on. I wake up every morning to someone being stabbed or killed by their wife.
Or Emily Florida on, man things.
Exactly. Emily leaves it on oxygen basically when we go to sleep. So, I guess the one that I probably hear the most is Snapped. And the thing that I hate about Snapped is that the name of the episode is always the person who did the killing. I'm like, well, I already know it's Megan. She did it. Her name's the episode title. But it's just funny to see how many ways a guy can make his wife angry and how many ways she can kill him and try to hide the body.
Infinite amount of times and ways.
So it makes me walk on eggshells around the house. So
sure. I think my favorite one growing up would have been Unsolved Mysteries.
Yeah.
With Robert Stack.
Yeah, that's true.
Oh, yeah.
You can't beat that voice. Well, unfortunately for Justin, I have not seen Snapped, but I've definitely seen some Dateline. So Megan, yes. You're going to get to pick first here in round one. What category would you like to start us off in?
I mean, I'm just going to say you should watch Snapped. It's so good. but I'm going to start with, I'll start with sports.
Sports. And we're going to start way back in the 50s.
Oh, great.
First established in 1958, the NFR includes events such as team roping, barrel racing, and steer wrestling. What does NFR stand for?
So I know, I think, what the N and the R stand for, but that just leaves the F. All right, so I'm just going to throw out, I think I'm going to just say National Federation of Rodeos.
National Federation of Rodeos is incorrect. Justin, can you steal?
Oh, I was going down the same road. Can I hear it one more time, please?
First established in 1958, the NFR includes events such as team roping, barrel racing, and steer wrestling. What does NFR stand for?
Thought there might have been a clue in there I didn't miss, I didn't get, but I didn't hear anything new. NFR. It's a clean podcast, so I won't say my initial thought.
That it is, sir.
I think we should both get 66% credit for this one now. all right, I'm going to say the... Yeah, sorry, bad podcasting. National... There's one F word that just keeps coming to mind, but it's not correct. Man, okay, I'm just going to throw out the National... Oh, Firefighters Rodeo. I do not know. I do not know. I'm going to have to tap out on that one.
National Firefighters Rodeo. Is also incorrect.
I'm so surprised. I thought that was a good answer.
This is the National Finals Rodeo. National Finals Rodeo. A huge event, actually. It's a very, very big. All right. No one got there. No harm, no foul. And we are over to Justin.
All right. I guess to try to make myself feel better, let's do some movies.
Okay.
Pray it's something I know.
John's going to hate me because we're back into the 50s.
It's your dice, Adam.
I know. Yeah. I'll swap it. Swap to the other one.
If you cast the actors who played Butch Cassidy, Cleopatra, and Sam the Snowman, you'd get what 1958 drama?
Butch Cassidy, Cleopatra, and Sam the Snowman. So 58. We're stuck in 58, I tell you. Not just the 50s, the same exact year. Okay, Butch Cassidy is... Butch Cassidy is Sundance Kid, so Butch is... Oh, I got to get him straight. Oh, sorry. I forgot I shouldn't talk out loud.
There's nothing stopping you.
Exactly. All right. Trying to think of who's in this movie. Guess I'm going to say Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf?
Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf is incorrect. Megan, can you steal?
Probably not, because the only two Liz Taylor movies I can name were just said. I'm going to pass. I have no clue.
All right. Well, Butch Cassidy was Paul Newman. Cleopatra was Elizabeth Taylor. And Sam the Snowman from the Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer was Burl Ives. I'm looking for Cat on a Hot Tin Roof.
That was my other guess. Damn it. I couldn't remember if he was in that or not. He was all brick, right. Wasn't he? All right. We are not getting to the 200 club today, Megan.
All right. And I seem to be winning so far. Yes. So, Megan, let's get some points on the board for you.
What category do
you
want? I'm going to go fashion.
All right. And it's the 70s.
The term for this clothing item was first used by Women's Wear Daily in 1970 to describe shorts made in luxury fabrics, such as velvet and satin for fashionable wear, but has since become a sizzling term for any pair of extremely short shorts.
It's got to be hot pants.
Hot pants is correct. All right, we finally got some points on the board for Megan. Justin, let's get some for you.
All right, let's do... I'm going to go back to the well and say music.
Okay. Music from the 60s.
Which band... were recording their first album, The Piper at the Gates of Dawn, at Abbey Road while the Beatles were recording Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band.
All right. This is one of those, like, Jack Nicholson, like, I can picture what this looks like. And I confuse some of these bands. Piper at the Gates of Dawn would have been Pink Floyd, I believe. I'm going to go Pink Floyd.
Pink Floyd. Is correct.
Go. All right. I'll bounce back.
Woo.
All right. Now we got some momentum going. Megan, back to you.
Let's go TV.
Okay. And it's the 90s.
Who was the original host of The Daily Show when it premiered in 1996?
I feel like this is a trick question, but John Stewart?
John Stewart is incorrect.
It is a trick question. Okay.
No, it's just a real question.
Justin, can you steal?
Oh, I think I can, because I'm pretty sure I grew up watching this guy on SportsCenter. I think it was Craig Kilborn.
Craig Kilborn is correct.
Oh, yes. Man. Nice.
Wow.
I remember John used to watch that as well.
I watched it originally, and then I remember when John Stewart came on. At first, I was like, I'm a little wary of this guy, and then he ended up being just the best. All right. Well, Justin, you got a steal. And left, we've got toys and games, news and politics, literature, slang, and food.
All right. Let's go with some news and politics.
All right. A little news and politics from the 70s.
There were great advances in fields such as physics in the 70s, which saw the consolidation of the QFT at the end of the decade, mainly thanks to the confirmation of the existence of quarks and the detection of the first gauge bosons. What does QFT stand for?
Another F word in a... can I be a pain and hear that one more time, please? Sorry.
Sure. There were great advances in fields such as physics in the 70s, which saw the consolidation of the QFT at the end of the decade, mainly thanks to the confirmation of the existence of quarks and the detection of the first gauge bosons. What does QFT stand for?
I'm sure there's somebody screaming at their podcast device right in a second. Like, come on, dummy. I'm going to say this is just going to be three dumb words thrown together to sound smart. I'm going to say quantum field technology.
Quantum field technology is incorrect. Megan, can you steal?
Well, I don't teach physics, so it could be called something else in chemistry. But I've got the Q and the T. It's the F that's getting me again. I know Fermi was a big physics guy. That's an F word. I'm just going to throw this out there. Quantum fission theory or fusion. Oh, shoot.
I got to go.
Yeah, that's fine. That's fine.
Quantum fission theory is also incorrect. Both of you had two of the three words correct, but not the same two of the three. It is the quantum field theory.
Oh, man.
Tough.
So apparently I am giving the hard-hitting questions today.
Yeah, that's fine.
All right. Megan, I believe we are back to you.
Let's go food.
Are we back to Megan? Didn't you? Yeah, no, you did that. I'm right. Sorry. Edit that out. 2000s.
Making her TV debut in 1999 as guest host with Chef Rocco Despirito on Food Network's Melting Pot, who made television history in 2005 as the first female Iron Chef, joining Bobby Flay, Mario Batali, and Masaharu Morimoto on the first season of Food Network's Iron Chef America?
Ooh. Kat Cora?
Kat Cora is correct.
Damn you, Megan.
Oh, yeah.
All I could think of was Kat Deely and Kat Dennings. I finally got the last name, and you came up with it, too.
All right, Justin.
All right. Dang, feeling defeated right now. let's see. Oh, I'm going to take my chances that it's not a comic book question. Can you give me some... John's hosting. Can I get some literature, please?
Man. How dare you? And it's from the 60s. A perfect time for early comic books.
Mm-hmm. Damn you.
What 1963 thriller novel by John Foles in his literary debut follows a lonely young man who kidnaps a female art student in London and holds her captive in the cellar of his rural farmhouse? Divided in two sections, the novel contains both the perspective of the captor, Frederick, and that of Miranda, the captive.
All right. Well, it's not a comic book question, so I can't be angry. Not that I would be anyway. Okay, 63. I'm going to be a pain since there were a lot of words in there, and if you can repeat it for me one time, please, John. Sorry.
Mm-hmm. What 1963 thriller novel by John Foles in his literary debut follows a lonely young man who kidnaps a female art student in London and holds her captive in the cellar of his rural farmhouse? Divided in two sections, the novel contains both the perspective of the captor Frederick and that of Miranda, the captive.
John Foles. Is he related to Nick Foles? let's see. I'm just going to say, man, for lack of a better answer, Stockholm Syndrome.
Stockholm Syndrome is incorrect. Megan, can you steal?
I just have a clarifying question. How do you spell the author's last name?
F-O-W-L-E-S.
Is it called The Collector?
The Collector is correct.
Wow, nicely
nice
done.
Nice job. Wow.
I pulled that from an episode of Criminal Minds. That's why I asked the spelling. I was like, wait a minute.
I always say it doesn't matter where you know it from as long as you know it right.
Yeah. All right, Megan, you got the steal. And left, we've got slang and toys and games.
I'm going to go slang.
Okay. And it's the 60s.
In the 60s, this wasn't just a term for someone who you worked for. It was used to describe something that is excellent.
Can you repeat that one more time?
Mm-hmm. In the 60s, this wasn't just a term for someone who you worked for. It was used to describe something that is excellent.
That's pretty boss, man.
Boss is correct.
Nice.
All right, and that leaves toys and games for Justin.
That it does. And we've got another 2000s question.
Released in 2001, Halo might be one of the greatest first-person video games of all time. What was the subtitle for this legendary game developed by Bungie?
I am such a black hole of video games after like the early 90s. Halo. I should be able to come up with this though. This is iconic. Thought you were gonna ask what Halo stood for. I'm pretty sure I know that. Feeling a strong second half coming on. That's all I can say. I'm gonna say Battlefield. I just don't know.
Battlefield, I just don't know, is incorrect. Megan, can you steal?
Well, my husband's going to be annoyed that I don't know this. I don't know. Is this guy even in Halo? I don't know. It's like Halo, the Master Chief Chronicles.
I mean, I like that name.
Yeah, not a bad
guess. Unfortunately, the Master Chief Chronicles is incorrect. Adam, I know you know this one because you introduced me to the game.
I played so many hours of Halo back in the day doing LAN parties with buddies. That was like quite a bit of my high school career. And this is Combat Evolved.
Yeah, the name of the game was Halo Combat Evolved.
I thought when I heard it, I was going to be like, darn it. Nope, I didn't strike a chord at all.
Okay. So
I feel a little better about myself. Not really.
There you go. All right, that is the end of round one. Adam, what is our score?
Well, John is almost the undisputed winner of round one, but Megan is doing pretty well. She has got 40, and about half of that, well, not about half of that, exactly half of that, is Justin with 20.
Yikes. Yikes. John in the lead with 60. Yeah. No.
He's got 40.
Yeah, sorry.
All right. Megan, you picked first in round one, so Justin, you're going to pick for Megan to start off round two. What category do you want to give her?
Let's see. Yes, we held off on toys and games. We'll snake it back around and go with that.
Yeah. Sounds good. And it's the 60s.
Oh, great.
I'm going to butcher this name. I'm just letting you know now. Invented by André Cassagnes of France and subsequently manufactured by Ohio Art Company in 1960, what toy uses a knob-controlled stylus to displace aluminum powder on the back of a screen?
The good old Etch-a-Sketch.
Etch-a-Sketch is correct.
Well, that plan backfired.
All right, Megan, what are we giving to Justin?
Let's go fashion.
Okay, fashion to Justin. And it's the 50s.
Poodle skirt, calling it ahead.
Is that your final answer?
No. Okay. No. Sorry.
In the 1950s, what company boosted hair color product sales across the hair dye industry with their ad, Does She or Doesn't She?
Okay, I think I know this one. I think hair color in the 50s. I think I asked a question about this one time. We were at an old folks home where everybody there was like 80 and 90 and up. and I had a guy who he was like, I colored hair in the 50s. That was not the first brand. And he was so angry with me. And I'm pretty sure it was about Clairol, if I remember right. So I'm going to go with Clairol.
Clairol is correct.
Nice. So we're both backfiring here.
Exactly.
All right, Megan, what are we picking for Justin?
Vice versa.
Oh, sorry, Justin. No. Justin, what are we picking for Megan?
Let's see here. Let's go. She got it right in the first half, but slang is always tough. So let's give her slang.
Okay. It's the 2000s.
What portmanteau describes a relationship that develops between two individuals in theater, film, or television, or between reality show contestants or participants for the running period of the show?
Can you repeat that?
What portmanteau describes a relationship that develops between two individuals in theater, film, or television, or between reality show contestants or participants for the running period of the show?
What the heck could that even be? This is probably so wrong, but I'm just going to go with a bromance.
Bromance is incorrect. Justin, can you steal?
Can I hear it one more time, please, John? I know. I'm sorry.
What portmanteau describes a relationship that develops between two individuals in theater, film, or television, or between reality show contestants or participants for the running period of the show?
Okay, I can talk out loud at least. I know that's where I was going to, Megan, like Airmance or Starmance or something like that. I'll just say Starmance.
Starmance is also incorrect. Adam?
Yeah. So as someone who's been on a reality TV show.
Exactly. I'm not the two-drone horn or anything.
I know. Exactly. I'm not trying to one-up you. I know. I did not have one of these, but actually Tom and Lindsay from the show apparently did have a bit of it. They called it jokingly the floormance because the show was the floor. But I believe the term you're looking for is the showmance.
Oh.
Showmance is what I was looking for.
Yep. How did I not get to that? Dang it.
Same.
All right. I believe now, Megan, you are picking for Justin.
Let's go sports.
All right. Sports for Justin. And it's our first 80s question.
I'm also going to butcher this name. One of the greatest athletes of all time, name Sully Mangulu, was the first weightlifter to win 3 gold Olympic medals and broke his first world record in the men's category at age 16. He was known by what nickname?
Yikes. All right. Can we do that one more time, please?
Sure. One of the greatest athletes of all time, name Sully Mangulu, was the first weightlifter to win 3 gold Olympic medals and broke his first world record in the men's category at age 16. He was known by what nickname?
Wow. good strategy, Megan. This was an excellent.
Could have gone either way. Okay.
Let's see here. Golly. They say sometimes things are in your wheelhouse and sometimes they aren't. John, you're throwing like over to third base. You're not even throwing it like in my. I can't even swing at these. I feel bad. I'm not making good. I'm gonna say Teen Titan. I really don't know. I don't have anything.
And you say you don't like comics. Come on.
I know. <that's> just...
the Teen Titan is incorrect. Megan, can you steal?
Almost certainly no. but yeah, I don't know. How about the Barbell Kid?
The Barbell Kid. That's a great name. Is also incorrect.
I'm a fan of that.
I didn't really give you many clues, and I will say one of the tough things is if I'm refreshing questions after a game where a lot of my questions were answered, I have a tendency to back off on adding hints because I feel like I've added too many hints. So unfortunately, I didn't really give you any hints for this one. I was looking for the Pocket Hercules.
Oh, I have heard of him. Okay.
I have too.
Yeah, that is familiar. Okay. Wow. Man, rough.
all right. And it wouldn't be a game if I didn't get lost. Adam, where are we?
Justin's picking for Megan.
Exactly.
All right. Let's pick. Guess let's give her literature.
Yeah, now you say it the right way.
Hope that means
Adam. It's the 2000s.
Oceans Rise, and what 2001 novel written by Richard Russo that follows the story of Miles Roby in a fictional small blue-collar town in Maine and the people, places, and the past surrounding him as the manager of a diner.
Oh, boy. There's no Criminal Minds episode that's helping me on this one. Wow, I have no idea. Diner in Maine. The Lighthouse Chronicles.
The Lighthouse Chronicles is incorrect. Justin, can you steal?
Well, I like Megan's approach of throwing chronicles on the back of it. It sounds much more astute that way.
That's what I'm just trying here, man.
I like it. The Justin Chronicles. I'm writing that. I know you hate me, John. Can I hear it one more time, please?
Sure. Oceans Rise, in what 2001 novel written by Richard Russo that follows the story of Miles Roby in a fictional small blue-collar town in Maine and the people, places, and the past surrounding him as a manager of a diner.
Ah, Oceans Rise. I know that's a clue. I feel like that's like a lyric from Hamilton or something. If that's right and I don't get there, I'm going to be really mad at myself. It is not How to Win a Date with Tad Hamilton. Let's see. Try to give you some sort of an answer that doesn't make everybody listening to this go, hey, how is this dummy on this show?
No, I'd never say that.
I'll just say Hamilton just to see if I'm getting lucky.
Hamilton is also incorrect. Mm. You were correct that it was a clue. The following lyrics after the words Oceans Rise is Empire's Fall, and I was trying to get you to the name Empire Falls.
Dang it. Okay. Well, good clue. You got me almost there if I was smart enough to figure it out.
All right. And see here. Left, we've got movies, music, TV, news and politics, and food. Megan, I believe you're picking.
Yeah, I'm going to go news and politics.
Okay. Politics. Staying in the 2000s.
What steel suspension bridge for pedestrians crossing the River Thames in London was open on June 10th, 2000?
I can picture it, and I'm pretty sure, especially by the date, I think that's called the Millennium Bridge, if I remember right.
The Millennium Bridge is correct.
Okay. Goodness.
There we go. Finally getting some more points going.
All right, Justin, what are we giving to Megan?
Let's give her, I guess we'll leave the big three for the end. So let's give her food.
Okay. And it's the 90s.
Again, I'm going to butcher this name.
It's a running theme. That's okay.
Yeah. Sure. Founded on February 12th, 1992 by Dane and Travis Boersma. What drive-through coffee chain is centered mostly on the West Coast, but has expanded as far east as Florida?
Drive-through coffee chain. Obviously, I know it's not that one. West Coast. I'm going to guess Caribou Coffee.
Caribou Coffee is incorrect. Justin, can you steal?
These things seem to be popping up everywhere around here. There's two of them that are popular around here. If you've said they've made it to Florida. There's one called Seven Brew. There's one called... I'm going to say Eliano's Coffee.
Eliano's Coffee is also incorrect. Dang. Adam, you got an idea?
I'm not sure I really saw them back when I lived on the West Coast, but I do have an inkling of remembering because you said two names, and I'm assuming maybe Brothers is in it. Is this Dutch Brothers? Is that a thing?
Dutch Brothers Coffee is what I was
going to say.
Oh. There's a Dutch Brothers in Omaha, I think. Dang it.
All right. Well, another point for me. And I'm not even sure where we are.
Megan's picking for Justin.
There we go.
Picking for me, yeah.
Well, I guess movies.
And it's the 90s.
If you cast the actors who played Mr. Krabs, God, the Grim Reaper, and Merlin, you get what 1994 drama?
Okay, Mr. Krabs, God, the Grim Reaper, and Merlin. Wow, yikes. And what year was the movie again? I'm sorry.
1994.
94, okay. And you said a 94 drama, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Let me see if I can wrap my brain around this one. I love these questions, by the way. They always make me happy. Doesn't mean I know the answer to them, but
it's funny because this is the first time I've doubled up on that kind of question, and you picked both of them out.
Exactly. Yeah. Oh, go figure. Ah, man. Okay. So you're not just hearing a bunch of blank space. You can edit that out later. Reaper and Merlin. Oh, I guess I'm going to say this because I know the year. It's a drama. I know one of these people played God at one point in time. I don't have much to go on that. I'm going to go with, based on Morgan Freeman playing God, I'm going to say Shawshank Redemption.
Mr. Krabs is Clancy Brown. God is Morgan Freeman. The Grim Reaper is William Sadler, who was the Grim Reaper in Bill and Ted's Bogus Journey. And Tim Robbins was Merlin in Top Gun. It is the Shawshank Redemption.
Yes. Oh, my goodness.
You know, I had no idea, but my guess was Shawshank, because when you say 94 drama, like...
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Okay. All right. I feel better about myself. All right. Let me get collected here. And let's see. I forget. Movies, music or TV? Music or TV? I'm looking at Megan's face to see if she's got a poker face. If I say music, does she light up? Or if I say TV, does she... Nah, I don't know. Let's see what we got. Let's give her TV.
Okay. And the decade is the 80s.
The 1987 science fiction film Batteries Not Included was originally intended to be an episode of what anthology TV show created by Steven Spielberg that aired from 1985 to 1987?
Oh no. Oh, my goodness. Batteries Not Included. That was the little robot-y guy. I feel like I knew this at one point. Anthology TV show, 1980. You said 85 to 87?
Yes, I did.
Okay, 85 to 87. Goodness gracious. I almost just dropped an F-bomb. I'm just trying real hard not to. I'm going to have to pass. I cannot pull anything from the back of my brain right now.
All right, Justin, can you steal?
Gosh, I feel like I should know this. Right? Uh-oh. let me be a pain and have it one more time, please, John.
Sure. The 1987 science fiction film Batteries Not Included was originally intended to be an episode of what anthology TV show created by Steven Spielberg that aired from 1985 to 1987?
I can't think of anything that ran that short. I'm trying to think of Batteries Not Included. I remember the movie. I just can't really like wrap my brain around. Let's see. I know there was a series called Friday the 13th, the series, and they like tracked down. That was like haunted things, though, kind of like Steven Spielberg. I am not coming up with anything better. I'm going to say Friday the 13th, the series.
Friday the 13th, the series is incorrect. This is a tough one. You're right. It didn't last for very long. The name of the show was Amazing Stories.
Yeah. Damn it. All right.
It was a tough one. All right. We are left with music for Justin.
Yes, we are. And that decade is the 70s.
Who holds the record for becoming the first Canadian female solo artist to top the U.S. charts with her song, You Needed Me?
Female solo artist. I feel like I should know this. I'm trying to, there's a name in my brain that I cannot come up with. If it's who I think it is, and I cannot get her name out of my brain. While I'm trying to get this out, can I hear it one more time, please, John?
Who holds the record for becoming the first Canadian female solo artist to top the U.S. charts with her song, You Needed Me?
Oh, this is going to make me so mad. I had a host, if this is who I think it is, he used to always listen to this, and it would just make me laugh. He would just like text me and be like, I'm jamming out to blah, blah, blah on the way down to the show. I'm like, what? Why did you text me that? I can't get the name Annie Lennox out of my brain. I know it's not her. Oh my gosh. This is going to frustrate me so bad.
I'm going to need an answer soon.
I know. Sorry. I'll get you in like 5 seconds. I'm going to say, oh my God, this is so frustrating. Annie something, Annie, Annie Lennox. It's not right.
Annie Lennox is not right. Megan, can you steal?
I don't think so. So I'm just going to go with the first name that popped into my head, and I don't even know if she's Canadian or not. I'm just going to go Linda Ronstadt.
Linda Ronstadt is also incorrect. Adam?
I'm not sure I know the answer to this, but I think the name Justin was trying to get to was Anne Murray. So that's what okay. I would say.
Anne Murray was the name I was looking for.
Okay. Damn it. That is where I was trying to get.
Wow.
Oh, my gosh. Yes. All right.
All right. That is the end of round two. Adam, what is our score going into the final round?
Well, John, I will say we had a heck of a game. You did. You got half the questions. Half the questions were unanswered. You kicked butt. But the other half were split down the middle. Megan and Justin are tied 50-50 going into this final round. This is still a very exciting match.
Oh, boy.
All right.
We combine points. We can get into the 200 Club together.
Yeah, there you go.
Let's hold
our powers combined.
Home and Louise style, we're going over the cliff. Yeah.
All right. Well, we need to find out who's picking first. Adam, will you give me a roll?
Yes, I will. All right. As Megan got to pick first, she'll be evens. Justin will be evens, and it's a three, so that'll start odds. That means Megan, you get to pick first.
All right, okay. Megan, what category would you like to add to the final round?
I'm gonna go fashion.
Okay, and the decade will be the 90s.
All right, and Justin.
I was trying to find the categories I did well in, but I'm still looking. So it's taking me a while.
there was only one category that had both rounds answered, and that was fashion. Everything else had a missed category.
And it's usually the redheaded stepchild of all these categories.
Yeah, that's great.
All right. Well, I guess to try to give myself a chance, let's do movies.
Okay. And that decade will be the 2000s.
Right. All right. So based on 90s fashion and 2000s movies, please send Adam your bids.
Yes, this will be very interesting because when people, you know, score very well, they're like, okay, I'll definitely put all in. Then we haven't had the highest scores on this episode. So are they going to be a bit hesitant at going all in or will they go for it? I don't know. Very curious. Makes the wagering fun.
This has been tough.
I know. I'm always bad at this anyway. So this just makes it extra bad.
I'm going to bet all of John's points.
Yeah. All right. Adam, I sent you my bid.
Okay. Both bids are in.
All right. Here is your 90s fashion question. Nadia Auermann is a German model and actress. In September 1994, she was featured on the cover of both Vogue and Harper's Bazaar. She was once stated by the Guinness Book of World Records to have the longest what of any model in the world. And your 2000s movie question. Tim Allen and Jamie Lee Curtis starred in what holiday family film from 2004?
While our contestants are thinking about their answers, I want each and every one of you to please go check out Return Revenge Resurrection. It's a fantastic horror-based podcast on the BFOP network where Tim... Oh, I can't remember the other host's name. Do you remember the other guy's name?
I don't.
Okay. I gotta cut that.
Sure.
What the hell was I gonna say?
To save the boys.
It's a fantastic, yep. Yeah, it's a fantastic horror-based podcast on the BFOP network where the boy or these where they go over some of your favorite horror franchises. Make sure you check out Return Revenge Resurrection.
I might just keep all that in. We'll see.
I was trying to think, and Adam was stumbling through that thing. I know. I was dying. This is not good for thinking.
No, it does not help.
I'm just picking on you, Adam. I just messed.
No, it was and I'm a professional.
Exactly. Don't try
y'all
to
pay us for this. Like that. Come on.
We're getting exactly what we're paying for. Let's see. Okay. That's the best I'm going to come up with. All right. I'm going to.
Yeah.
I'm going to say locked in.
Me too. I feel like we came to that like just at the exact same moment. I'm admitting defeat.
Exactly. Well said, teardrop.
All right. Well, let's find out what you put. Justin, what did you put for the questions?
All right. For the first one, my mind went a lot of weird routes, but I'm going to guess that Miss Nadia, supermodel whose name I can't pronounce, had the longest legs. That's my guess. And I think, I'm mixing up a couple of Christmas movies. If it's the one I think it is, I think it was based on like a John Grisham book. So I'm going to go with Christmas with the Cranks, I think is what that was called. I if that's the one I'm thinking of.
All right. And Megan.
I'm going to be really boring about this because I had the exact same two answers.
All right. Let's find out the answers. For your fashion question, Nadia Auermann at 44 inches had the longest legs of any model in the world, at least at the time. And the 2004 Tim Allen, Jamie Lee Curtis movie was Christmas with the Cranks.
Oh, man.
Holy moly.
So it is coming down to bids. Adam, why don't you take it from here?
Yeah. All right. So we could have gone a couple different ways on things. And I will say that Megan Walsh had a bit of a conservative bid, and she put in 10, maybe expecting a drop on this one. And Justin Wentz said, screw it, 50. So he got his bid, and because he went all in, he is taking it home and continuing on our tournament with the score of 100 over Megan's 60.
Great game, Megan. Holy moly, that was stressful.
Oh, my God. I suck at bidding. That's all. It's like, like trying to assign points on Learned League is like my least favorite thing to try to do. This is why.
I suck at it as well. That's why I was like, screw math. Just put it all in. What the hell?
All right. Well, congratulations, Justin. Since you won, we'll hear later from you later. Adam, who can he expect to go on to play?
Yeah, we're going to have a good one here because Justin will be taking on the former highest scoring person of all time and someone you also know, Nick Groves, who beat David Abalafia. So Justin will be taking on Nick Groves. And yeah, that'll be a very exciting match. Another 200 club members.
Nice. That'll be a blast. I thought I was having to play Eric Eade. I was like, just throw me to the slaughter.
Oh, wait. You are playing Eric Eade. Oh, okay. My bad. Okay. That's the other one. Whoops. I messed that up. My bad. Oh, yeah. Okay. It's our next game where they're going to be playing Nick Groves. You are playing Eric Eade, which is really exciting because you both have tied. You both have the highest score of all time on TTT at 280. So, whoops, I apologize about that one.
Okay. Mine was luck. He's a solid player.
So, yes.
I do sport my 200 club badge, though, on my backpack at all times.
Very nice. So, yes, yeah. My bad, Eric Eade.
All right. Unfortunately, Megan, this is the end of your tournament run. So now you have the floor to curse Adam's dice or whatever you'd like to do.
I'm always really bad at this. I just be nice to everybody. And, you know, it's an election year. So kind of let's do the right thing.
Well said. All right. Thank you again to Justin and Megan. That's Adam and I'm John. This was another episode of Throwback Trivia Takedown.
Thank you for listening to Throwback Trivia Takedown. If you want to support the podcast or if you'd like to be a contestant, go to patreon.com/throwbacktriviatakedown and pick a tier that's right for you. If you want to submit questions, you can email them to throwbacktriviatakedown@gmail.com. Please rate and review us on your preferred podcast platform. We'll see you next time when two new contestants go head-to-head in nostalgic knowledge on Throwback Trivia Takedown.
We wrestled the demon Pazuzu in The Exorcist.
Your mother is in here, Karis. Would you like to leave a message? I'll see that she gets it.
We hooked the fisherman killer, Ben Willis, and I Know What You Did Last Summer.
Oh, you got a letter? I got run over, Helen gets her hair chopped off, Julie gets a body in her trunk, and you get a letter. That's balanced.
We survived a summer away with the Angel of Death, Angela Baker, in sleepaway camp.
Look what I did. I packed you and your cousin some goodies for the ride up to camp. Wasn't that nice of me,
But we ain't seen nothing yet. Join Alex and Dean of the Return Revenge Resurrection podcast as we go toe-to-toe with the ever-resourceful Michael Myers.
I shot him 6 times.
Be there as we discuss the Halloween franchise in its entirety, from John Carpenter's beloved 1978 classic through David Gordon Green's epic forthcoming finale.
I shot him in the heart.
We cover it all, the good, the bad, and the bloody. Return Revenge Resurrection, a podcast that slashes its way through horror movie franchises.
You don't know what death is.
New episodes every Thursday, available wherever podcasts are found.
I told everyone!